Anyway, I have a title for my preaching. I was like thinking about it today, and it's titled, Don't Give Up, It's Only Half Time. Don't Give Up, It's Only Half Time. And so, you know, it's January and it's been Christmas and New Year. It's been a time of rest. It's been a time of reflection and resetting and starting up again. And who's feeling like, yeah, we're just getting back into gear again. Can't wait for February, yeah? And I don't know about you, but I have looked back over the year 2023, and there have been a year of highlights, blessings, but also lots of trials and lots of tribulations. And as I was entering this month, I had this dream, and it was right at the beginning of January, and this was such a weird dream that I was thinking, okay, I need to pay attention to this. So I wrote it down, and I started to pray into it, and this was the dream. I was holding a baby in my arms, not my baby, but I was holding a baby, and then I was putting it down to bed to sleep. And this bed, I thought I'd check it out, make sure it's all clean and everything, and I found two slugs in this bed. And I picked it up and put it in this dish, and then I was carrying it to like dispose of them. And they jumped out, and then I had to scoop them up again, and then I got to the sink and I flushed them down the drain. Then another dream followed, and I heard, this is what I heard. I heard that if you break your knee, you can get new ones. It's like, what is that about? So in my dream, I took a hammer and broke my knees. And then I was thinking, what have I done? And I woke up and I'm thinking, what was that about? I really had no clue. But as always, you know, when you press in and seek God, he always gives us a revelation. So I felt like God was saying, he's giving you a new baby. He's birthing something new, and you're getting rid of all the sluggishness. The sluggishness, the tiredness, the can't be bothered attitudes. Because God is giving you something new to take care of, to steward. And it's a beautiful gift, a reward that God is entrusting you with. And he sees you need a break. Get that? A play on words. You need a break. And he is saying, have a break and I will renew your strength. I don't know about you. I was like, you know, the beginning of January, we took a bit more time to get our accounts in order and actually look at how well the business was doing. And there's like a rush to get into it. I felt God saying, just rest another day. Just rest another day. So I did. And I was just so encouraged when God spoke to me in this way that God says, you need a break. Have a break because I will renew your strength. And I felt like God was saying, you need to get rid of all that sluggishness, all the hurts, all the disappointments from year 2023. And then I got this picture of a fireplace. And I felt God say, give me your ashes. Give me your ashes. Just like that song we were singing. Give me your ashes because I want to give you a new log, a new wood. So you're going to burn even brighter than you did before. You need to clear out the ashes. You know, when you burn a fire, there's ashes. And if you don't clean it up, you put more wood in and it doesn't burn as fiercely. And God was saying, you need to just clear the ashes, okay? God is working in us and through us and around us. God is wanting, who believes this? He wants to give us a promotion this year, that breakthrough, that new gift, that new anointing. He is wanting us to get rid of the ashes, and he is wanting us to just take that break. This week, as we enter into our prayer and fasting, just take that break, rest in him, lean into him, and he will renew your strength. And as I said, before Christmas, we had planned to stay closed a little longer so we could rest to catch up. And And to be honest, we've been in our new location. For those of you who don't know, we have a bakery business. It's run by a family. And we, for the last 2.5 years, have just been literally working nonstop and haven't really, I've really neglected looking at the books because I've been afraid. Ever been there? You know, where you start, I just don't want to look at it. I don't want to look at the accounts. I don't want to look at all of the details because I'm afraid of what I'm going to uncover. And I felt Holy Spirit throughout the last few months, you need to look, you need to look, you need to look. So I prayed and said, God, okay, just help me not to look in fear, because there's nothing worse when you look in fear, because it's just dread, isn't it? And it's hopelessness. And at the same time, I was listening to a preach by Chris Vallerton, and he was sharing that January is like halftime. And I really like that. You know, like when you're in a football game or in a basketball game or whatever it is, it's halftime, you know. And that really resonated with me because I felt like him saying that, you know, it's half time. You know, at half time, what do? You review how the first half went. You know, what went well? What adjustments do we need to make? What do we need to stop doing? What do we need to do more or start doing something new? And it's not just a time to just take a rest, but it's a time to evaluate. Watch how the first half has gone and make those just adjustments that are necessary, because you know what? It's a comeback year, guys. It's a second chance to turn things around. Failed businesses to thrive, amen? Ash heap turned into beauty. And I felt Holy Spirit say, let go and give him your ashes. Let go. Now, this really spoke to me, and I think this is going to speak to you. Let go of all your expectations. Let go. Instead, I want you to have hopeful expectancy. There's a difference in. And back in December, I think Laura and I were doing our Bible study together, and we were reading Romans 12, 9 to 13, and it says this: love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on to dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle and don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant, and don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder, help needy Christians, and be inventive in hospitality. I love that version. What really spoke to me was the word where it says, be cheerfully expectant. There's a difference between expectancy and expectation. Let me just explain. Expectation limits our hope to how we specifically expect God to answer. It holds us hostage to that only one grateful expected outcome. Does that make sense? Whereas expectancy, on the other hand, allows us to keep our faith in who he is rather than how he's going to manifest. You see, if we pray, God, you need to do this thing in this way, that way, within this time even, who's done that? And you know what? And he doesn't show up. There's disappointment there. But then as I look back, even this year, I look back and yes, Clive just was praying. I just shared with him. We just got a 20,000 bill that we did not expect. And yeah, I don't know how we're going to pay it. And last year, we made a big loss. You know, we made a big loss in the business. But the good news is that, you know, my parents released some inheritance. So at the end of the day, we have got finances, but obviously it's not the way to run a business where you're just pouring money into it. The business should be healthy and profitable. And I look back and I was like, God, you didn't deliver us. You didn't make us profitable. But as I look back, God was so faithful that you still have money in the bank. Okay, it's not the way I would like to, you know, use that money. But God was like just really speaking into me that, you know, be hopefully expectant. This year, be hopefully expectant. And don't set God, you know, don't put him in a box and say, this is how you have to answer all my problems. This is what I expect you to do, God, because God doesn't work like that. He's a big God. I love that story, Clive, that you shared at the front about how, was it Isaac? He didn't want to give up Benjamin because he couldn't figure out another way. He thought his life would end if he gave up Benjamin. And often we think like that. We think our lives are going to end if God doesn't, you know, do this thing in our lives. And actually, God's got something even bigger for us. Amen? So, guys, I want you to break agreement with any expectations that you have put on God, on others, on yourself, and ask him to replace it with hopeful expectancy. Because anything can happen at any moment, in any way. Because as we sang earlier, God is a good, good Father, and his ways are always perfect and good. Amen? So in Isaiah 43:18-19, it says, forget about what's happened. Who wants to forget about 2023, right? We hold on to the good. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert, be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road through the desert, rivers in the Badlands. You know, Sam had this picture, this word, and it really encouraged me, and it was progression. And I then got this picture of like, you're a work in progress. And then Sam said, yeah, he saw this picture of like on the computer, you know, when you're downloading, you're loading, and it just takes forever and ever and ever, especially when you're rebooting, and you just want to give up and keep pressing that button. And I felt like God was saying, some of you just keep wanting to reload and not just being patient and waiting. You keep doing the same thing and getting stuck. And I felt like God was saying, you just need to persevere in the new. Allow God to transform your thinking. And I keep doing that. Don't give up, because you will look back and realize that God is renewing your mind and he's transforming the way you think and changing your life. Amen. I feel like it's a year of dreams. Be intentional. Ask God for dreams if you don't dream. Write them down. Press into it for God's interpretation. It's an invitation to partner with God to know the secrets of his heart. Who wants to know the secrets of God's heart? His will for you. We're part of his amazing story, beautifully orchestrated, his good and perfect will. So give him your fears. Your fears of failure, hurts from the past. Because what if the difficulties, your trials are going, your things that you're going through, what if that is what's going to save you and save others? I was coming back from the gym the other day, and I noticed I've got this bag, this gym bag. It's still got the price tag thingy-majiggy on it. And, you know, the plastic ring thing. I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I've had this for years, and I've been walking around with it. And I felt Holy Spirit say, your life is not your own. You were bought for a price. You belong to me, and you're returning to heaven. And it was almost like, you know, when you just leave the price tag on because you think, well, I don't know if I'm going to keep it yet. I take it back, and God will say, that's who you are. You've got a price tag on you guys. You're going back to heaven. We are in this world, but not of this world. So be devoted to God. Let go of your worldly possessions and views and take hold of what Christ took hold of you. Feel like God is saying, stop trying to save yourself. This is what he's being said to me. Stop trying to save yourself. Let go. Only God can save you. Yeah? You are not the savior. Often we think we are. We've got to solve all the problems and everyone else's problems too. You are not the savior. As I say that, I just feel like a weight go. Stop holding on to the baton. It's time to let go and pass it on. 1 Corinthians 7:29 says this, the time is short. The time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they do not. Crazy, right? Those who mourn as if they did not. Those who are happy as if they were not. Those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep. Those who use the things of the world as if not engrossed in them. For this world in its present time or form is passing away. I would like you to be free from concern. And a married man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided. You know, as I read this, I actually, Sam popped in to the bakery the other day, and I actually said to him, I am so jealous of you in that I love my husband, I love my children, but in that, you know, being single, you can be completely devoted to God. And this scripture, it was like, God, surely he's not asking us to neglect or, you know, not love our spouses or our children. No, it was more about, I just want your devotion. I want you to be devoted to God. And last night, I went back. I was reading an old preach. Actually, a preach I think I did similar time last year. And it was titled, Fight the Good Fight of Faith. And it was about how God was going to sift us last year. Anyone felt like God was sifting us last year? And this morning, as I was praying, I started to look at all my giants before me. You know, my financial giants, our staff giants, you know, whatever giants you guys have, I started to get overwhelmed. And I just started to worship and I just started to thank him and praise him. And as I started to fix my eyes on him, God spoke and said, it's in this time when you feel like you're failing. Because I don't know about you, I feel like a failure. And it's in this time when you feel like you're failing, it's when you're drowning. It's in the time when you feel fear, fear for the future, fear of not making it through. Whatever giant you and I are going through, I felt like God saying, it's in this moment, I want you to love me and love people. You know, Jesus was dying on the cross and he hung there and he thought of us and he forgave us. In that moment when he was suffering, hanging on a cross. And anyway, I felt like God was saying, this Goliath, I felt like God was saying, yes, this Goliath, this picture of a Goliath, I saw. He said, last year you were fighting the good fight of faith with the armor that others had put on you. And it might have been in my own strength, in my own wisdom. And it was like, you can remember when David wanted to fight Goliath, King Saul put his armor on him and he was like, I can't wear this. I'm not used to this. It's too heavy for me. And I felt like God was saying, this is how you fought last year. But then suddenly I saw this picture where I was free of this armor and all I had were the 5 stones. And I felt like God saying, you are free to fight because your devotion will be completely devotion to him, to God, relying on him, depending on him. And it was just like, wow, it's not that we won't have our Goliaths to defeat, guys, but it's because God has set us just even more free there is greater freedom this year, where we are not fighting with some heavy armor, with something that has been like in our own strength. God is saying, I'm going to do it with you. This is what God is calling us to do. There are many of you who are being sifted right now, and it's been really hard. But I just want to say, don't give up. Stay in faith. Hold on. Fight the good fight of faith. We're all going through it. It's not going to last for long. So hold on to God's truth. Do the one thing I'm asking you to do. And then do the next thing. Keep your eyes on him. God is saying, I've placed you here not for your enemies to defeat you, but for you to defeat your enemies. You think he's building your business, your career, your marriage, your relationships, your finances. But God is building a man and a woman. That picture that Clive shared last, I think it's the first Sunday, wasn't it? Where he was sat here and there's on a throne and that spear in his, oh my gosh, and he was dying. That really, really resonated with me because, you know, if I'm honest, I've been a bit like distant. I've like felt not the closeness of God. And I read the other day in Jeremiah 29:13, it says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And if I'm honest, I was at the gym the other week and I asked myself this question. Am I seeking God with all my heart? And the answer was, well, I'd rather seek comfort than really lay it all down, humbly saying yes to God, paying the price, whatever it costs. And I felt God say, if you choose comfort, it will lead to misery. And then I heard him say, I have everything you need in life. There is an answer, a solution for everything. I have love, peace, joy, that song again, faithfulness, for all the trials, for all the tribulations in life. But there is a cost. You know, there's a cost for misery and there's a cost for joy. Who in the world would choose misery? But let's face it, sometimes we do. It's a lot easier to believe and hope for something than to get hurt, right? To get disappointed. So let's not hope for it, right? So we choose misery. It's easier not to trust people than take a step of faith and believe the best in somebody. And that's also with God. Maybe God's let you down. Let's rephrase that. Maybe you were expecting God to show up in a certain way and he didn't. It boils down to this, guys. God wants us to be completely devoted to him this year. He wants us to love God and love people. It's that simple. Whatever you're going through, God is saying, love him and love people. Be devoted to him. Be concerned about his concerns.